Today is the 7th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is a joy to greet a brand new, shiny, sparkly week around the global campfire together as we move forward into this new week. Looking out over it, it's a beautiful vista from here. And we can go down into this week and make it the depths, or we can walk through this week in wisdom. And one of the ways that we do that is orienting ourselves to God through His Word each and every day. And so that's what we've come to do. Step into the new week together, step into the next step in the Scriptures. And that next step leads us into some new territory. So we navigated our way through the book of Judges, and then we came to the book of Ruth, which is a breath of fresh air and a beautiful story that also comes from the time of the Judges. And now we are moving into the book of 1 Samuel, and we are still kind of in the time of the Judges. Samuel is the final judge of that era, and so during the books of Samuel, during the book of 1 Samuel, we will transition from Judges and be introduced to the very first monarch, the very first king of Israel, which brings about a new era in the lives of the children of Israel, and we'll get to know that plenty as we continue the story forward. But since we're kind of navigating into a new era, we should orient ourselves a little bit. As we begin the books of Samuel, we'll meet Samuel, and it's a remarkable story. And it's a story, once again, of a barren woman longing for a child, and God giving the child, and this child will be Samuel, who will grow up, literally, under the shadow of the Most High. And Samuel's leadership will then lead us to Israel's first king, King Saul. And we will begin to understand Saul's story in relationship to Samuel, and then Saul's story out of relationship with Samuel. And Saul will be a bit of a mirror into our own souls as we understand his story. A great deal of challenging parallels start to surface, and we start looking at ourselves. And then a little bit later, before we get through the books of Samuel, we'll meet another man named David. And of course, the book of Ruth told us that Ruth and Boaz's marriage produced a son named Obed, and Obed became the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. And this is the David of David and Goliath fame, who will become Israel's second king. And we will get to know him quite well also, and he will have an awful lot to teach us about ourselves also. And we have been getting to know David through his poetry and lyrics, so many found in the book of Psalms. But as we move through Samuel, 2 Samuel in particular, we'll get to know David as a person and understand his story. And since we'll be settling in here and kind of camping out for a while in these stories, it's a good time to just understand a bit of context, a little bit of historical context. Originally, 1 and 2 Samuel were not broken apart into separate texts. They were grouped together with the books of 1 and 2 Kings. So 1 and 2 Samuel and then 1 and 2 Kings all together as one continuous text. And then when the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, were translated into Greek, and this is known as the Septuagint, the books then were divided into four separate texts, and they were at that time known as the Books of the Kingdoms. And then later after that, when the Old Testament was translated into Latin, which is called the Vulgate, they became the Books of the Kings. And so during that time, there were four books of Kings in the Bible. First, second, third, and fourth Kings in the Bible, which is kind of confusing because at that time, what we know as First Samuel was called First Kings, and what we know as Second Samuel was called Second Kings, and what we now know of as First Kings was Third Kings, and what we now know as Second Kings was Fourth Kings. This all changed to what we now know as First and Second Samuel and First and Second Kings when the translators created the King James Bible, and that happened in the year 1611. But back to Samuel, we will see he was a very influential prophetic voice in the life of Israel and the final judge of Israel. But he was also a prophet of God, and so he was able to serve before the Lord as a priest, not just a judge, as a priestly judge. And during his life, as we learned over and over from the book of Judges, everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. And then Samuel comes along and kind of steps into the breach as a prophet of God, which kind of settled the anarchy down, because Samuel was speaking directly for God, a prophetic leader. And that was something that was more historically understandable by the children of Israel because they had been led by Moses. And we'll be able to see that in the text. We'll see the respect for Samuel in ways that we didn't see with the other judges. Anyway, let's dive in. We're in for a great ride. This is going to be a season of transition in the story of the children of Israel, but a fantastic opportunity for self-reflection as we continue forward. So here we go. We got a brand new week. We'll read from the New English Translation this week. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 21. There was a man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. He was the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of the first was Hannah, and the name of the second was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man would go up from his city year after year to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at Shiloh. It was there that the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the Lord's priests. The day came and Elkanah sacrificed. Now he used to give meat portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion because he loved Hannah, although the Lord had not enabled her to have children. Her rival used to aggravate her to the point of exasperation, just to irritate her, since the Lord had not enabled her to have children. This is how it would go year after year. As often as she went up to the Lord's house, Peninnah would offend her in that way. So she cried and refused to eat. Then her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why are you crying and why won't you eat? Why are you so upset? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah got up after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. At the time, Eli, the priest, was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's sanctuary. As for Hannah, she was very distressed. She prayed to the Lord and was, in fact, weeping. She made a vow saying, "O Lord of Heaven's armies, if you would truly look on the suffering of your servant and would keep me in mind and not neglect your servant, and give your servant a male child, then I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life. His hair will never be cut." It turned out that she did a great deal of praying before the Lord. Meanwhile, Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her mind. Only her lips were moving. Her voice could not be heard. So Eli thought she was a drunkard. Then he said to her, "How much longer do you intend to get drunk? Put away your wine, But Hannah replied, "Not so, my lord. I am a woman under a great deal of stress. I haven't drunk wine or beer, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Don't consider your servant a wicked woman. It's just that to this point, I have spoken from my deep pain and anguish." Eli replied, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him." She said, "May I, your servant, find favor in your sight." So the woman went on her way and got something to eat. Her face no longer looked sad. They got up early the next morning. Then they worshiped the Lord and returned to their home at Ramathaim. Elkanah was intimate with his wife Hannah, and the Lord called her to mind. Then Hannah became pregnant. In the course of time, she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, thinking, "I asked the Lord for him." Then the man Elkanah and all his family went up to make the yearly sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go up with them, because she had told her husband, "Not until the boy is weaned, then I will bring him so that he may appear before the Lord, and he will remain there from then on." Then her husband Elkanah said to her, "Do what you think best. Stay until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord fulfill his promise." So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Then she took him up with her as soon as she had weaned him, along with three bulls, an ephah of flour, and a container of wine. She came to the Lord's house at Shiloh, and the boy was with them. They slaughtered the bull, then brought the boy to Eli. She said, "My lord, just as surely as you are alive, my lord, I am the woman who previously stood here with you in order to pray to the Lord. For this boy, I prayed, and the Lord has given me the request that I asked of him. So I also dedicate him to the Lord. For all the days of his life, he is dedicated to the Lord." Then he bowed down there and worshiped to the Lord. Hannah prayed, "My heart has rejoiced in the Lord. My horn has been raised high because of the Lord. I have loudly denounced my enemies. Indeed, I rejoice in your deliverance. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one other than you. There is no rock like our God. Don't keep speaking so arrogantly. Proud talk should not come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God who knows. He evaluates what people do. The bows of warriors are shattered, but those who stumbled have taken on strength. The well-fed hire themselves out to earn food, but the hungry no longer lack. Even the barren woman has given birth to seven, but the one with many children has declined. The Lord both kills and gives life. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord impoverishes and makes wealthy. He humbles and he exalts. He lifts the weak from the dust. He raises the poor from the ash heap to seat them with princes. He bestows on them an honored position. The foundations of the earth belong to the Lord. He placed the world on them. He watches over his holy ones, but the wicked are made speechless in the darkness. For it is not by one's own strength that one prevails. The Lord shatters his adversaries. He thunders against them from the heavens. The Lord executes judgment to the ends of the earth. He will strengthen his king and exalt the power of his anointed one." Then Elkanah went back home to Ramah. The boy, Samuel, was serving the Lord with the favor of Eli the priest. But the sons of Eli were wicked men. They did not acknowledge the Lord's authority. This was the priest's routine with the people. Whenever anyone was making a sacrifice, the priest's attendant would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand, just as the meat was boiling. He would jab it into the basin kettle cauldron, or pot. Everything that the fork would bring up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they used to treat all the Israelites who came there to Shiloh. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's attendant would come and say to the person who was making the sacrifice, "Give some meat for the priest to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the individual said to him, "They should certainly burn the fat away first, then take for yourself whatever you wish," then he would say, "No, give it now. If not, I'll take it by force." The sin of these young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offering with contempt. Now Samuel was ministering with the favor of the Lord. The boy was dressed in a linen ephod. His mother used to make him a small robe and bring it to him from time to time when she would go up with her husband to make the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord establish descendants for you from this woman in the place of the one that she dedicated to the Lord." Then they would go to their home. And indeed, the Lord attended to Hannah. She got pregnant and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. But the boy, Samuel, grew up before the Lord. John 5, 1 through 23. After this, there was a Jewish feast, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool called Bethzatha in Aramaic, which has 5 covered walkways. A great number of sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed people were lying in these walkways. Now a man was there who had been disabled for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and when he realized that the man had been disabled a long time already, he said to him, "Do you want to become well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am trying to get into the water, someone else goes down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man was healed, and he picked up his mat and started walking. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and you are not permitted to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Pick up your mat and walk'?" But the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped out, since there was a crowd in that place. After this, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "Look, you have become well. Don't sin anymore, lest anything worse happen to you." The man went away and informed the Jewish leaders that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Now, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began persecuting him. So he told them, "My Father is working until now, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jewish leaders were trying even harder to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, thus making himself equal with God. So Jesus answered them, "I tell you the solemn truth. The Son can do nothing on his own initiative, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does, and will show him greater deeds than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. Furthermore, the Father does not judge anyone, but has assigned all judgment to the Son, so that all people will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The one who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Psalm 105, 37 through 45. He brought his people out enriched with silver and gold. None of his tribe stumbled. Egypt was happy when they left, for they were afraid of them. He spread out a cloud for a cover and provided a fire to light up the night. They asked for food and he sent quail. He satisfied them with food from the sky. He opened up a rock and water flowed out. A river ran through dry regions. Yes, he remembered the sacred promise he made to Abraham, his servant. When he led his people out, they rejoiced. His chosen ones shouted with joy. He handed the territory of nations over to them, and they took possession of what other peoples had produced, so that they might keep his commands and obey his laws. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14, 28 and 29. A king's glory is the abundance of people, but the lack of subjects is the ruin of a ruler. Someone with great understanding is slow to anger, but the one who has a quick temper exalts folly. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this brand new territory and this brand new era that we are transitioning into as we continue to move through the Old Testament. And as we get to know Samuel, and as we get to know Saul, and then as we get to know David, we're inviting your Holy Spirit to instruct us, and as we ask so often, to lead us into the truth. The truth about ourselves, the truth about who you are. We love you. We are eager to grow where you have planted us as you continue to enrich and nourish us through your word. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
This is Beefield Bridget from New York City. I'm calling to give you guys an update for those that haven't heard. The shooter, Michael, was found guilty today. Whew, this is so heavy. I'm crying because I'm happy that justice was served, right? But I'm also sad because someone's life is changed forever, obviously. I believe this is God's mercy on this young man, and he could still repent, but his children, you know, won't have a father like my granddaughter. Anyway, thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for embracing my family and walking through this for the last 5 years with us. June 18th will be the 5th year anniversary. And I'm just thankful. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm so thankful. I pray for anyone that is dealing with anything that is unresolved, where there's no closure. Lord, so many cases that exist with no closure. I just pray, Father, that you would bring closure to hearts this year. Thank you again, guys. In Jesus' name, I pray. I love.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Starting Over Sister, and my husband and I are still starting over after 2 years having moved when we lost our business, and we are still rebuilding our lives and our livelihood in Texas. and just working at it. Appreciate your prayers. I love this community. I'm so thankful for Daily Audio Bible. And I wanted to shout out to Daniel Johnson Jr. today because I really appreciate every time you call. I love everybody's calls and pray for you all. But Daniel, you've always encouraged me, and I pray that God will help you choose wholesome, godly ways of dealing with struggles. It's hard for all of us to do that, but may he strengthen you. Please pray for our community. One of our pastors took his own life about 2 weeks ago, and he was a very godly man, a great pastor, biblical scholar. And at his memorial service, it was said that he failed that day, but he would ask us all to forgive him. And I thought that was the perfect thing, that we all are capable of failure, but God forgives all our sins. Jesus' blood covers all our sins. And when we fail, God will forgive us, and we must forgive one another. And it was a reminder to me of how fragile we all are, and trying to live for Christ in this difficult world. I pray that we can all be lights and just be a little more kind to one another and generous and forgiving. I love you, family. God bless you.
Hey, this is Jerry calling from Duluth, Minnesota. I was listening to the community prayer line, and Matt from New Hampshire, your call and mentioning your son Josiah, who's been in the psych unit for 4.5 weeks and coming home for perhaps the ECT treatments, really touched my heart. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you. It was 4 years ago last week that my son was on the banks of the Mississippi River in Minneapolis and called his sister to tell her goodbye. Fortunately, Melissa, who's also bipolar, was able to talk him down and get his coordinates, and we were able to get him to the hospital, but still a struggle. He's one who chooses not to use medications for his struggles. So continue to pray for Steve. And I'd appreciate your prayers greatly too. Mental health has really been on my mind recently because I'm a part of a program called Leadership Duluth, and I'm going to be leading during the month of May a mental health awareness campaign, and I just need wisdom and just need God, and he already has in incredible ways. Wish I could share it with you all, but time's a ticking away, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray for early bird and challenges that she's going through. I want to pray for the 18-year-old son of the 18-year-old son that is going through it about her 18-year-old son, that's Early Bird's son. I also want to pray for Jay in Victoria, Louisiana. I also want to pray for Tom in Texas and the challenges that he's going through. And I wanted to pray for Brian and Jill and telling them thanks for the podcast. And I want to pray for Lisa, the encourager, and the precious lady that lost her mother in the I think it was two precious ladies that lost their mother in the two automobile accidents. I want to pray for those in the family of the one that didn't make it. And I want to pray for the one that yet we don't know that whether they made it with them and their family. Gracious Father, we just ask you to have your way in the name of Jesus. Lord, you deliver. You set the captive free. You give life and favor. You are still working miracles. You're still doing great things. Oh, Lord, you let those that don't feel worthy, let them know that there's an empty spot in every man and woman that can only be filled with the personality of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that you ignite that spirit, Father, of those that have accepted you, and let them to have joy and peace and look to you, Lord, for the joy and the peace and for the victory. We are more than conquerors to them that love us. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Love you all, Dabbers. Bye-bye.
Hey, my name is Madeline. I'm a mother of a son called Joshua, and I did go post on the daily audio a prayer, so you might know, but my son Joshua, for whatever reason, that is in God's control, I know, but I would be entirely grateful for prayer because we are in court with him now after just having him. It took a while for us to get pregnant, me and my husband, and I'm in a wheelchair, and so he does the physical stuff with Joshua, and I do the emotional and encouraging and stuff like that. Sometimes I get insecure and I don't always feel like I am a mother and I'm the best mother, because he stays with my mom at night and I'm very, very insecure about it. But it doesn't stop me from how I am with my son. I'm his cheerleader in everything he does. I love him so much. But loving him so much and no one understanding how it feels to be in a wheelchair and see your son grow up and learn how to walk and things like that and go to other people and learn how to say mama.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family, this is John calling from Westminster, Massachusetts, currently in my car making my way into Boston. Daniel Johnson Jr. from beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm calling in for you. I heard your call. It aired on the 1st of May. And first of all, I just want to say I love you, brother. I've heard your voice on this program for years now, and I've never called in to say how much I appreciate you, how much I appreciate your enthusiasm, and how much I appreciate your honesty, and especially after your call yesterday, your confession, really, of how you're just not handling or hadn't been handling, not really. You said it was your job loss, I guess, or, you know, being out of work and, you know, being the provider for your family and just not handling all that kind of loss, I guess, is the best way to put it. And what I'm just going to say to you, brother, as a brother, is like, you're not alone in that. I'm going to sum all of that up, all that stuff you've been going through to our pride, right? At the end of the day, our pride is wounded. And pride leads to all sorts of stuff that's not healthy for us ultimately. But listen, the bottom line is that you're talking about it. We're hearing you. You've got brothers and sisters that are praying for you. And God has got you, has always had you, will always have you. And you know that as well as I know that. So I wanted to let you know that I love you. I'm super thankful that you called in and that you kind of made that confession, just told us what's going on. Know that you're loved. Know that you prayed for. Know that Jesus has got you. You're stepping into a new time and new provision, and he's got you, my man, and so do we. Love you, Daniel Johnson Jr. from beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. You make it a great day. Cheers, everybody. We'll talk soon. Bye.